Right, okay. We are looking at chapter 36 of Tanya, which is a very special chapter. Every chapter is special, but it's as if each chapter has got a particular quality to itself, even though it's part of a book and you're reading one chapter after another. So this chapter, in a way, it stands by itself, even though it's part of the sequence of Tanya. So chapter 36, and that is page 163-164 at the bottom, and we're beginning at the beginning of the chapter. That's right.
36 or 37?
Yeah, 36.
Because you announce it as 37.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You have to re-announce it now.
Okay.
A very special chapter
36. Yes, 37 is also special.
Okay.
Now, Perek Lamed Vav, Vehine Mudazois. Now, it's well known. Lovely.
Sorry, I'm just thinking, but I'm just thinking.
Sure, that's okay. Vehine Mudazois. Now, it is well known, Maimar Azal, the saying of the sages, Shetachlis Brias Oilam Haze, that the purpose of the creation of this world, Hu Shenisave HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God desired liyosloi dira betachtonim, that he should have a dwelling in the lower world. Now that's a fascinating statement, that God, the purpose of creation is often discussed, especially in Hasidic or mystical literature, the Zohar. Why did God create the world? And the idea that's being expressed here is that God wanted that there should be a lower world, and in a moment it's going to talk about what is meant by a lower world. That means a world of concealment, a world of hiddenness, a world of spiritual darkness. And in that world, Hashem should dwell, that we should be able to express godliness in our lives, in our hearts, in our homes, in every aspect of our being. And that is the real purpose for the creation of the world. And that is why all the different things took place, and that is why there was the giving of the Torah, and that is why we are here now, after thousands of years of exile and all kinds of sometimes very tragic difficulties. But the purpose is that there should be a dwelling for Hashem in this lower world. Now, what does it mean, lower? V'hine lo yishayich lefon of Yisborach. When you're speaking about Hashem, who is infinite, you can't speak about b'chinas maila umata. You can't say this is higher and this is lower. Hashem is everywhere. Ki hu Yisborach mamali kol almin b'shaveh. Hashem fills all worlds equally, whether it's the highest world or the lowest world. Hashem is there and in every aspect of the world. For us human beings, a mountain is high. But if you were as high as the mountain, or infinitely higher than the mountain, nothing would be high. So what does it mean, the lower world? It's going to explain a world of concealment. A labia ha'inyan, the explanation of this idea, is as follows. Ki koidem, now these are very, very beautiful words. These words that we're going to be reading, they come from the Lurianic Kabbalah about the whole nature of creation. That's how Eitz Chaim by Rav Chaim Vital begins, with the Tree of Life, this famous Kabbalistic book, with the description of creation. Ki koidem shenivra ha'olam, before the world was created, hoyohu levada yisbaruch, God was alone, yochid umiyuchud, absolutely one and unified, umamale kol amokam hazeh, filling the entire place, quote unquote, because there wasn't really place yet. Hashem hadn't yet created place. So it was just the totality of Hashem, Shebara Boi HaOlam, where he was going to create the world. And at that point, there was only godliness, there was nothing else. and there was no space and there was no time. There was only infinite God. Vagam ata, and now too, Kain hu lefanav yisbarach. So it is exactly the same as far as Hashem is concerned. Now this is a very interesting idea. You see, what it goes on to say in the Tree of Life, in Eitz Chaim, is the way that Hashem veiled his radiance. And by veiling his radiance, which is called Tzimtzum, which is sometimes translated as contracting his radiance, Hashem made room, infinite Ein Sof, the infinite, made room, so to speak, for worlds. Whether it's spiritual worlds, or then finally our lower physical world. But Hashem made room for that, and so therefore here we are as a tiny little bubble in the infinite oneness of God. The question is this existence from our point of view or from Hashem's point of view? It says elsewhere in Tanya that existence, the whole creation of all the universes, everything in the most spiritual realms, is like a thought in Hashem's head, so to speak. I mean, Hashem doesn't have a head, but it's like a thought in the divine, of a word which is going to be spoken, but isn't spoken. Because when we say a word, that word leaves our lips. But that means it's left us, and nothing can leave Hashem, because Hashem is everything. So therefore, inside the infinity of Hashem, there's like a word, a thought of a word, which isn't spoken, because nothing, it can't be spoken. While you're thinking the thought's inside your head. When you say the word, it leaves, that's right. But for Hashem, there's only Hashem. Hashem is everywhere and everything. So therefore, all of existence is like a thought inside Hashem. And that's where we are. So, whatever happens, you see, when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, at that moment we are, as it were, ascending to that level, that plane of existence, that there's only Hashem and there's nothing else. And at that point, there is, you know, there's nothing to worry about, whatever is happening around. That's, we're there with Hashem, with the oneness of Hashem, and that's infinite, and that's the ultimate reality. However, so in a sense, from Hashem's point of view, it's as if there's only Hashem, and it's Hashem's thought, and that's just Hashem. From our point of view, we're in a world, and sometimes it rains, and sometimes it's sunny, and sometimes we're in exile, and sometimes it's Mashiach. We're in a world of changes. But for Hashem, there's the infinite illumination of Hashem. Okay, so Rak Hashinui Hu Ela Mekablim. The word Shinu is at the beginning of the line. The change is for those who receive Chiyusa Ba'ori Yisborach, who receive Hashem's life force and radiance. Shemekablim, which we receive Al Yedei Levushim Rabim, we receive this radiance from God and the life force of God through many garments. Hamachasim Umastirim Oiro Yisborach, which conceal the infinite divine radiance. Kidichsiv, as it's written in the Torah, when Moshe asked if he could see Hashem's glory, Hashem said to him, Ki lo yirani o'odam mechai. Man cannot see me and live. And in fact, the sages explain, it doesn't just mean man cannot see me. They take the word v'chai, ugedepirish razel. They explain that the word v'chai and live also means angels. Angels cannot see God either, because if they did, they would disappear from existence. Sha'afilu malochim aniknim chayas, even angels, which are called chayas, that's the name that's given to them, like spiritual creatures, as it were. Ein royin, they cannot see the greatness of Hashem. They cannot see clearly Hashem, because otherwise they would be dissolved out of existence.
How can you be dissolved out of existence if you're not there in the first place?
Like an angel?
Yeah.
Well, an angel is it's not there thought, physically, but it's exactly. there spiritually.
Yeah, so how can so you be dissolved out of existence if you are spirit already?
Well, spirit is still defined. See, something physical is very defined, but something spiritual is also defined. And so something spiritual might be spiritual, but it's still limited compared with that which is beyond.
Infinite.
You can talk about different orders of infinity. So the spiritual relation to the physical is unlimited in relation to something finite. But you can have different levels of spirituality.
You've got seven or something?
Well, that's the thing. You've got seven sphere art.
Yeah.
You've got different worlds. The world of action compared with the world of formation. The world of formation compared with the world of creation. See, that's going higher and higher. The world of creation in relation to the world of Atzilut, which is emanation. So you go higher and higher. It becomes infinitely spiritual, more spiritual at every stage. Until you come higher and higher, where you can't speak about worlds, but you can only speak about the oneness of God. And even in that, there's no end.
Infinity, as you said.
Infinity of infinities. More and more and more. So therefore, you can have, it's a very good question that you're asking, you can have the idea of something spiritual, and nonetheless, in relation to a higher level of spirituality, it is limited, and therefore, in order to preserve its identity, it has to be sheathed from a greater power of radiance, which would blow it out of existence in some way.
Okay.
Now, so there were all these concealments. And v'zehu inyan, and this is the theme of hishtalshelus ha'olamos, the downchaining of the worlds, v'yiridosum, their descent, mimadrega lemadrega, from level to level, al yedei ribui halabushim hamastirim, through the many garments. Now, garments, you see, are different kinds of veiling, which hide ha'or, the light, v'hachayus, and the energy, shemimenu yisporach, which comes from God, the radiance and the energy, the life force. Ad shenivra olam hazeh hagashmi, till we come so low down in this chain of concealment, further and further concealment of God, until this physical world is created. Hagashmi v'achumri. It's not only physical. Now, in Hebrew, we use in English the two words, physical and material, which maybe don't really have very different connotations in English. But in Hebrew, the word gashmi, in Hebrew, the word gashmi means physical, of a kind of, if you like, a sort of a polite, a understandable level of physicality that one needs to have physicality in order to be a human being. So there is a physical dimension, and that's part of us being a human being. But v'hachumri means the materiality, which means something more coarse, more demanding on us. It's the level where our physical self takes over beyond the bounds of where it's necessary, and it becomes an attraction or a direction which is drawing us into some lower.
Sort of like what's it called?
An influence, kind of like
when the apple drops off the tree. Right. What's that called? I've forgotten.
Gravity.
Yes.
Gravity going lower.
Sort of pulling us.
Yeah, you could say that. Well, if we recognize it as a bad influence, that's good. But it's something drawing us down. I think the idea of gravity. That's a good point. So you see, there's a more elevated kind of physicality which hasn't yet fallen so low. So it really is low, chumli mamash, really materialistic, like we use the word materialistic, that expresses it, that a person is very, very concerned about very material things.
Today it's quite like that. A lot of circumstances, people are very materialistic today.
Vohu hatachtum b'madrega, and this creates a world which is so low in its level. She'ein tachtum lemat mimenu. There's nothing lower than the world that we're in. The inyan hester oire yisparach, as regards the concealment of God's radiance. V'choyshech kofel u'mechupel, and a double and redoubled darkness, a spiritual darkness. We're living in a world where, unfortunately, there is spiritual darkness. Ad shehu mole klipus, so much so that the world that we live in is full of negative forces. V'sitra achra, something really negative. Shehi neged Hashem mamash, which are really opposed to Hashem. Loima ani va'afsi oid, saying, I am and there's nothing apart from me. That we can have, there are people with a mindset that they think of themselves exclusively, and they do not see the greatness of Hashem over them, or they manipulate spiritual concepts in order to express their own existence in a totally self-centered way. So there we have the idea of a downchaining of worlds till you come to an extremely low level where there are in fact vicious negative forces. V'hine tachlis hishtalshelus olamos. Now the purpose of the downchaining of the worlds, v'yiridosim, this descent of God's life force, mimadrega lemadrega, from one level to another, why is this descent taking place? Eino b'shvil olamos elyonim. Is the purpose the upper worlds? You see, the Kabbalists speak of atzilut, emanation, and then creation, then formation, then action, then finally you get down to this physical aspect of the world of action. When God is creating this whole system, why is He creating it? Now, there is a common way of thinking when people study spiritual teachings of the kind that we are studying, that, oh well, we're here in this physical world, but this physical world, this is nothing. What we have to really think about are those spiritual realms, and there's higher and higher spiritual realms, yes, and it's so ethereal, the world of emanation, and you know, a person can think about these spiritual realms as if they are the focus of existence. And what Tanya is saying here is a very interesting point. The fact that God created these downchaining levels going lower and lower shows us that the purpose of existence is not the higher level. We are at the focus of the purpose of existence. The purpose of existence is right down below. It's here, where we are.
You mean average sort of people, like people?
Average people, kind of people like us, we are. Yes,
everyday,
absolutely.
Average kind of average
absolutely,
people.
Absolutely,
don't
yes.
call me average, girl,
well, you know
yeah.
what I mean.
You're
you
uniquely
know I mean.
Average.
You know what I mean.
Don't ever call me average.
That we are people that have to shop, people that have to work, people that teach, whatever. Average kind of people.
Right. Now, and in our average kind of world, in our average...
That's what I mean.
This is where the infinity of godliness dwells. You see, we're not talking about a world of angels, like before we were talking about angels. The angels are not the purpose of existence.
Because they were all there already, weren't they?
God created them as part of the whole system. There are spiritual realms and it's part of creation, but the focus... The focus is our lowest world. That's what the goal is. That in our lowest world, godliness should be revealed. So when we human beings here in this world, we have some food and it's kosher food and not kosher, and we make a blessing on it, and it comes to Shabbos and we light Shabbos candles and we have the whole beautiful Shabbos atmosphere, and it comes a mysterious and beautiful festival like Purim, and we celebrate Purim. These are very, very spiritual, wonderful things which are happening in this world of darkness and concealment, where all kinds of negative things happen. But the focus is down here. What is happening over here? Now, one of the ways we can understand that the purpose is not the very exalted worlds, it's two lines from the bottom of the page. One second. I think you're on the wrong page.
No, I'm on the right.
Yeah? Chapter 36. Right, so one second. But the ultimate purpose. Yeah, that's where we're coming to. Those words, but the ultimate purpose. What were you saying,
Susan?
I think
that brings a lot of light into a darkened world.
Yes, absolutely.
The holidays, the festivals, that brings the light in. It gives you light. It brings it up. It gives you light.
That's how I see it.
That sort of brings the light in. A festival, something nice.
Think that's a beautiful way of seeing it.
Why make this world if the purpose of this world is to go up?
Right.
Why make it in the first place?
The purpose of this world is not so much to go up. I mean, but to discover a radiance down here,
to elevate.
Why bother with this if our purpose is to elevate ourselves
and to go up there? Yeah,
Gloria's saying, if the purpose is the top floor of the skyscraper,
why go in the basement?
That's right.
Why start in the basement?
Because if we go down into the basement and the basement's really dark, and you light a little candle, you see such a beautiful radiance of that light there, of that little candle, which if you were up on the 27th floor and it's all glass windows and everything, and you light the candle, you can hardly see it. You can't see that quality of light which comes out of darkness.
But then if you are lighting this light in this very, very dark basement, and there's all these other nasty people around you, all you're saying is nasty. All I'm saying is nasty.
But you're creating light.
No.
That's what I said, through a festival.
No.
Your light's coming through.
I'm just as nasty as they are.
The light's coming through.
Isn't it the work of it? The whole work. My point is that through all the darkness, has a ripple effect.
A festival or something brings a bit of light maybe into somebody's life.
So why bother doing anything?
It gives you a little bit of
light. No, but why bother with the basement? If you can be on the penthouse.
In other words, why be born? Why not just the soul stay up in a beautiful world?
But that's right. Starting a job, isn't it? You can't start at the top. You have to work your way.
Waiting to come down
through the channels.
Yeah, but imagine, you see, here you are.
You're talking about
let's say there are people on the sales floor who are selling things. And a couple come to you and they want to buy something, and you look and this and that, and you find exactly the right thing for them, and they are so happy.
Many times.
And they are so happy. Now you're experiencing a joyfulness in that procedure, which the manager of your shop can't experience, because he is he's dealing with shall we buy a thousand of this, that's right. Yes, you see, whereas you're actually dealing at that reality
that's
point.
That's how I would see it.
We are
that's
at the reality point of existence.
That's how I would see it.
Not the ethereal dimension above, which is where the angels and the unborn souls, or the souls after they've been in the world. Those are spiritual realms. But the real purpose is down here, where we are with all the difficulties and wrestling with our own nastiness.
We're all trying to get out.
No, we're not. You're right that the soul yearns to be in a more spiritual situation. But the soul is told, against your will we live.
You said once, and this must be many, many years ago, you said once that we choose our destination when we come back down again. We're actually given a choice of what we come down as. You said it.
Okay, I'm not sure.
You said this, not in my words, but in your own, that when we pop off, we go up there, we become a soul again. We come back down to learn, but we have the choice of what we come back to learn.
You mean in Gilgal?
Where
you mean in reincarnation?
I'm talking about that, and that's what you
said.
Yeah,
that we have the choice. I don't know if we have the choice.
Yes, you said.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Quote unquote.
would I like?
That's what we are.
You're actually given the choice of what you come, of what situation you come back down as, what you want to learn. Yeah, you want to learn not to be friendly with Helena anymore. So you have to come down to learn, something like that. Or we haven't experienced flood in India. We come back and we experience flood in India. Something to that effect.
All right, I'm not so sure that it's the choice exactly of the soul, except that the determination of the soul is to fulfill what God wants. And God may want to put us in a position that we hadn't been in before, and that precisely that is where our task lies, like you say, a flood in India. So dealing with that situation. So that situation is the challenge to our soul, and that's
so
why.
So when do we get out of it?
Well, you see, the goal is the coming of Mashiach and the revival of the dead. And then our life in this world, see, it's very interesting. Why should the purpose of Judaism be defined as the revival of the dead? Why isn't the purpose being in the world to come, being in the Garden of Eden on some spiritual level, rather than saying that it's being here in this physical world as a physical body? Now that is a very, very intriguing question, and the Rebbe, before he became Rebbe, wrote a long essay on precisely this topic. Because this helps us understand what it's saying here in this passage of Tanya. That the goal is our physical world, warts and all. And with all the problems that are here, this is the realm where the highest revelations of the divine can be achieved. Much more than in some spiritual realm. And so what we are trying to achieve is a revelation, an expression of the divine. Let's see a little bit further.
Perfect the world, no? Tikkun olam.
Well, perfecting the world, you then, in a sense, you're back with Gloria's question. Because, alright, so the world is perfected, so we perfected the world. So let's get away from it. Let's go to a spiritual realm. We've done our job, we've perfected the world, and why should this world matter so much? So when you look at it as a dwelling for God in the world, and the way we express that dwelling for God is by the fact that you and I are working to perfect the world. That's the way we are expressing godliness here, that there is something or other that needs to be done, and we're doing it.
Hashem wanted a dwelling place down here.
Yes, that's exactly the theme of this chapter. That's the theme of this chapter. So, Eila HaTachlis, now you've got these words, but the ultimate purpose. Eila hatachlis hu, but the purpose is oilam hazeh hatachton, this lower world. Shekach ola beretzoyne yisborach, because thus it arose in Hashem's will. Liyos nachas ruach lefon of yisborach, that Hashem should have a tremendous joy. Nachas. Yes, nachas is what parents get from children. Now, you have to turn over the page so that you get to page. Oh, turn it this way. Flip it like that. 165. You got page 165? Here.
Yeah. 163.
Yeah, 165.
Yes.
You got it?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. The first word is when. At the top in English.
Yeah.
So a parent gets nachas from a child when a child does what they're supposed to do, and in such a way that it's positive. Now, Hashem gets nachas ruach, gets pleasure, so to speak, a very deep kind of pleasure, getting nachas from a child, getting nachas from a situation. You've got it?
Yeah.
Wait, have you got it? Page 165?
Yeah. Here it is.
Thank you. Nachas is a very deep kind of pleasure. And for Hashem, there is nachas. Kadiskafya sidra achra, when the negative forces are quelled, ve'ishafich chashoicha l'nohira, and when darkness is changed to light. Here in this dark realm, we don't run away from this dark realm. In this darkness, we change the darkness to light. That the radiance of Hashem, the infinite, will shines in the realm of darkness, the realm of evil. Shall kol olam hazeh kuloi, of this entire physical world, much more, in a tremendous way, Hashem's radiance shines here in the darkness of this physical world. With all the extra power that light has, when it's light which comes out of the darkness rather than light which is there in the daytime. It speaks in the Talmud about a candle at midday. Someone lights a candle at midday, and if you imagine an Israeli midday, the burning hot sun, the beautiful hot sun, and you light a candle, you can hardly notice where the candle flame is. You have to be very careful not to burn yourself because the flame is almost invisible. But when we're here in this dark realm and you light a candle, there's a tremendously beautiful force which is being expressed. And that is, there is a beauty there. There is something deep and precious. Much more meharosa be'olam eselyonim, much more than the shining of Hashem's radiance in the upper worlds. Shemeya sham al yedei levushim behesteponim. In the upper worlds, yes, God's radiance shines, but you know what? That radiance there has to be concealed by garments and veils, hamastirim u'malim el'or ein sof baruch hu, which hide the radiance of the infinite, shelo yibatlu b'metzias, so that these spiritual realms shouldn't be fused because of the intense voltage, so to speak, the intense energy. And the energy in a spiritual realm, it's a sort of a, the energy is flowing, and if the energy is too strong, the spiritual realm is not able to exist. Here in our physical world, there's a paradox that we are in a world which is so low, and there is an opacity. Everything is concealed. You can't see the godliness. And because you can't see the godliness, in a way that enables a more powerful divine radiance to shine. Because when we do a mitzvah, there is an enormous effect. And it's because we are physical people that we are not sensitive to that effect. And because we're not sensitive to that effect, it's able to happen in a gigantic way that if we were more sensitive, it would be too intense for us. We wouldn't be able to bear it. Yeah, imagine, it's like if you imagine that there's a tremendous, tremendous noise going on, and the person who cannot hear, well, sometimes people who can't hear, they are bothered by noise, they can feel the vibration. But imagine that it's in such a way that the person is not disturbed by the noise because they're just not sensitive to it. Whereas another person who's got very sensitive hearing, it's too much, they can't bear it, they start screaming, the noise is too intense. Now that's the same on a spiritual level, where there's more sensitivity, the radiance has to be veiled. Here, where we are opaquely clothed in physical bodies, which hide the spirituality, and we are able to do mitzvah, and those mitzvah release an infinite energy, that's an incredible, incredible thing which takes place here in this physical world. And therefore, Nosana Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael es HaTorah, this is six lines down, and there in the Hebrew, and therefore Hashem gave the Jewish people the Torah, Shenikris Oiz, which is called power, Bekoyach, and strength. Uchumay Merazel, as the sages tell us, Shahakodesh Baruch Hu Noisen Koyach B'Tzadikim, Hashem gives power to the righteous, to the Tzadikim, the Kabul Schorom, to receive their reward, La'osid Lovo, in the future, when they're in the Garden of Eden, for example, Shelo Yisbatli B'Mitzias Mamash, so that they shouldn't be completely dissolved out of existence, Ba'or Hashem, in the radiance of God, Hanigla La'osid, which in the future will be revealed, B'Lishum Levush, without any kind of veiling. So that's a fascinating idea, that the mitzvahs that we do and the Torah that we learn provides a kind of shield and sheath protecting the neshama, protecting the soul, when this intense radiance of godliness is revealed without any concealment. Kedichsev, as it says, V'lo yikanef oid berecho, you're at that time of revelation, your teacher, that means God, will not be concealed anymore. God won't be hidden from you in any kind of garment. Our eyes will see our teacher God. There's a whole sequence of verses here which express the way that we will have this revelation of God in the future. Eye to eye we will see. The sun won't be light for us anymore. God will be our radiance. So in other words, there's this idea that when there will be a tremendous unsheathed, unveiled radiance of godliness, we need protection in order to maintain our spiritual identity. And in fact, it's the Torah itself, the Torah that we keep, the mitzvahs that we keep, which give us that protection so that we are able to continue to maintain our existence and identity in relation to Hashem, who wants us to be there existing. Hashem doesn't want us to just dissolve away like a piece of wood being thrown into a bonfire, and in a moment the piece of wood is completely burnt up and gone. No, we have a spiritual force which has an eternal quality. And the soul, the neshama, has some very special power, and therefore is preserved, and it's Torah which enables the soul to maintain that identity even in the most exalted spiritual radiance. However, that's all in terms of the future with this tremendous revelation of godliness, but there's also the idea of us being down here in the world and keeping the mitzvahs of the Torah and the tremendous radiance that we're generating. Now, if we're talking about the future, there has already been a moment in world history when godliness was revealed in a way very similar to the way God will be revealed in the future in the time of Mashiach. And that is the time of the giving of the Torah. And that's going to be the next section that we're going to explore. It's going to describe the giving of the Torah in spiritual terms, what it was like for our souls to experience that intensity.